Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His death has paid my ransom. Our propitiation, as we talked about last week. What a great song. We're continuing this morning in 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, as we continue our study through 1 John. Our text this morning is 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And I wanted to start this morning by reading a quote from Sally Lloyd-Jones, who wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible. She said this as an introduction to the Bible. Now, some people think the Bible is a book of rules, telling you what you should and should not do. The Bible certainly does have some rules in it. They show you how life works best. But the Bible isn't mainly about you and what you should be doing. It's about God and what he has done. Other people think the Bible is a book of heroes, showing you people you should copy. The Bible does have some heroes in it, but, as you'll soon find out, most of the people in the Bible aren't heroes at all. They make big mistakes, sometimes on purpose. They get afraid and run away. At times, they're downright mean. No, the Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, his everything to rescue the ones he loves. It's like the most wonderful of fairy tales that has come true in real life. You see, the best thing about this story is it's true. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. It takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of the story, there's a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like the missing piece in the puzzle, the piece that makes all other pieces fit together. And suddenly, you can see a beautiful picture. He gave up everything for those he loves. Love is a powerful thing. Love is a very important thing. Never before or since the cross has this world witnessed such an example of love. We know from 1 John 1 that Jesus was from the beginning with God. We know that Jesus was fully God and fully man when he came to this earth. So think with me what Jesus gave up to come and die for sinners. He came knowing that he would be ridiculed, mistreated, beaten, and killed. Killed on a cross, and he still came. Why did he come? Love. He came out of love, his amazing love for his creation. That love is what we're going to talk about today. That love is what it's focused on in our study today in 1 John. So let's read 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11 this morning. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We can see from this passage that the message of love is very important to John. Why is that? Because it is very important to Jesus. This is Jesus talking, and it is recorded in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John 13, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 say this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Another passage recorded in the Gospel of John of Jesus speaking is in John 15, verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." As we see, love is important to Jesus. It is one of the main lessons he came to manifest about God and God's character. This new commandment, or not new commandment, as we read, we'll have to see. But the commandment John is talking about is love. He is focusing on love. The English language doesn't help us when it comes to this word, love. We use the word frequently, but most of the time we use it without thinking, or use it without really using its full meaning. How many times do we say something like, "I love pizza," or "I love vacation," but then we also say, "I love my wife," or "I love my husband," or "I love my children"? It's hard to understand how a person can use the same word to express their love for their spouse and their strong feeling for pizza. When words are used so vaguely, they lose their true meaning. In Greek, which we know most of the New Testament was written, Greek has four words for love, all having different meanings to express the proper use of the word. Storge, this is defined as familial love. It refers to natural or instinctual affections, such as the love of a parent towards his child, and vice versa. Then there is philia. This is translated brotherly love, or friendship, or affection. This is where we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Then there's eros. It's translated as passionate love, or romance. And then finally, agape, or divine love. This love exists regardless of changing circumstances. This is a selfless love. This is the word for love that is used in 1 John. This is the word for God's love towards men, and Christians' love for one another, and God's love for his church. God's love for us is the means through which we love one another. He is the source of love as its creator, and first to use, and first to show and partake of it. We learn from him how to love others. We're going to see in this passage today that Christian love is both old and new. We see from verses 7 and 8, as it tells us, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning." But then verse 8 goes on to say, "At the same time, it is new. It is a new commandment that I am writing to you." How can this be? It seems like a contradiction that is old and new. But we know the Bible does not contradict itself. If this is not a contradiction, what is it? As we know, love is not new, neither in commandment for us to love God or for us to love each other. The commandment to love one another is not new in time, but it's new in character, in how it is lived out. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. The old commandment to love one another has taken on a new meaning. We're going to look at this new meaning today. First, we're going to look at it's new in its emphasis. Our love is new in its emphasis. One commentary had this to say: its newness lies at the point of its realization and fulfillment. Jesus lives a life of divine love. He also extends this life to his disciples as a new command. The book goes on to say, after Jesus' death and resurrection, however, they, talking about the disciples, they discovered that as they obeyed his commands, his promises found fulfillment. What had been true in Jesus' own life now became part of the reality of their lives. They too began to know what it was to love. John is narrowing his focus down to one commandment, and he is putting an emphasis on it. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of commandments. In this passage, John is emphasizing love. The commandment, love one another. It's the fulfillment of God's law. When you love people, do not lie to them or about them. Do not steal from them. You certainly do not harm them in any way. Love for God and love for others motivates a person to obey God's commandment without even thinking about it. When a person acts in Christian love, he obeys God and serves others, not because of fear, but because of love. Think about a close relationship you have with your spouse or another family member, perhaps. Do not do things for them out of fear that you're going to get in trouble if you don't, but you do these things for them out of love. This could be considered new, as it is new in emphasis. There's a new emphasis than there was before. John is emphasizing in this passage that the truth about our reception of God's love is demonstrated in our love towards one another. How do you know if people are walking in the light and living a life of faith? Do they genuinely love and care about other believers? You can't separate your love for God and your love for his church. How you love other people matters. Are you using your words, your actions, to affirm God's love for those around you? It is important that we understand the meaning of Christian love. It is not a shallow, sentimental emotion that Christians try to work up to so they can get along with each other. It is a matter of determining that you will allow God's love to reach others through you and then acting towards them in loving ways. You are not to act as if you love them, but act because you love them. Let me say that again. You are not to act as if you love, but act because you love. We see that there is a new emphasis on Christian love, but also, secondly, we see there's a new example of love. We also find in this passage a new example of love. Love one another, John points out. What was first true in Christ is now true in the lives of those who are trusting Christ. Jesus himself is the greatest example of this commandment. Verse 8 says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. When you look at Jesus Christ, in him, you see love embodied and exemplified. And we are commanded to love. Jesus is not asking us to do something he has not already done himself. The Gospels are the account of a life lived in the spirit of love. Jesus illustrates love by the very life that he lived. He never showed hatred or malice. He hated all sin and disobedience, but he never hated the people who committed the sin. We also have to consider our Lord's love for all kinds of people. The publicans and sinners were attracted by his love, and even the lowest of people could weep at his feet. All people could listen to his teaching. Perhaps the greatest thing about Jesus' love was the way it touched even the lives of his enemies. He looked with loving pity on the religious leaders who in their spiritual blindness accused him of being in league with Satan. When the mob came to arrest him, he could have called the armies of heaven to protect him, but he yielded to his enemies. Then he died. He died for them. He died for all people, including his enemies. Even as they crucified him, he prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In his life, in his teaching, and in his death, Jesus is the perfect example of this new commandment to love one another. This is what helps make the commandment new. In Christ, we have a new illustration of the old truth that God is love, and that life of love is the life of joy and victory. As we talked about last week in 1 John 2 and verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. What is true in Christ ought to be true in each believer. A believer should live a life of Christian love because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This is a reminder to keep walking in the light as he is in the light. Love conquers hate. Light overcomes the darkness. It is love, commitment to the good of others, that brings clarity into our lives. This clarity is what really matters. Clarity about where to spend our time. Clarity about how to use our spiritual gifts. Clarity about how to use our finances God has blessed us with. We are not to walk in darkness. We are not to walk in hate, but walk in love. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Jesus Christ is the standard of love. He is the standard of love for Christians. We are not to measure our Christian love against the love of other Christians, but against the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. The old commandment becomes new to us as we see it fulfilled in Christ. We can see this commandment to love is new in emphasis. It is new in example. And then lastly, we see it is new in experience. New in experience. Our passage continues the illustration of light and darkness. If a Christian walks in the light and is in fellowship with God, he will also be in fellowship with others in God's family. Love and light go together, just as hatred and darkness go together. It is easy to talk about Christian love, but much more difficult to practice it. Such love is not just talk. We see this from verse 9. Verse 9 says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. If a Christian says they have love of a fellow believer, but actually hates that believer, that person is a liar. The reality is, it is not possible to be in fellowship or walking in the light with the Father and out of fellowship with other Christians. At the same time, we see from verse 9, if we are doing this, we are still in darkness. And we know from last week, light and darkness cannot exist together. This is yet another incredible blessing the Lord has given us in the local church. We know from our study in James that God blesses us not to have to live this life of faith alone. He gives us our church. He gives us elders and fellow believers to walk with us on our walk on our progression of our Christian life. Here we can see, yet again, that the fellowship of believers is given to us to help us in our Christian walk. So we know we are not alone. The Christian life has two relationships: the vertical or upward relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with men. I'm sure we have all heard the expression, love is blind. I'm sorry to say, in Christian love, it is the opposite of that. When we practice true Christian love, we find life getting brighter. For we are walking in the light. Hatred is walking in darkness. Hatred is blind. We see this from verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11 say this: whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John, in this passage, much like James, is concerned with deeds, with actions, the actions of loving, not just claims, not deceptions that we talked about last week. As people try to deceive others, they try to deceive themselves, and they try to deceive God by lying that they are walking in the light when we know they are harboring sin and hatred and actually walking in darkness. John says, whoever loves is in the light. He goes on to say that in the verse, that the one who loves and abides is in the light, will not cause offense, will not stumble, or cause someone else to stumble. The opposite of this is hate and walking in darkness. And this is a cause of stumbling. It is dangerous to walk in darkness when stumbling blocks are in our way. An unloving believer stumbles. He stumbles himself, and in addition, he may cause others to stumble. The best way to help other Christians not to stumble is to love them. Sin and hatred make us stumbling blocks instead of light shining the path. This is very practical to the local church. We must show and exercise love in the local church, or there will always be problems and disunity. We are to lift one another up, to edify one another, not push one another down and cause one another to fall. To love other Christians means to treat them the way God treats them and the way God treats us. Christian love must show itself in action and in attitude. We can see what happens to a believer who does not love. We know that believer lives in darkness. As I said before, we see in verse 11 that it is not love that is blind, but hate is blind. We can see from this verse that he who hates his brother is, yes, in darkness, but not simply in darkness, but is made to spend his life in darkness. Yes, he has eyes, but cannot see where he is going, because the darkness, the hate, blinds his eyes. He is walking, but there is no direction in his walk. He never knows whether he is close or further from his destination. The only thing he knows with certainty is that he is without hope of reaching his destination. Hate destroys any window of light from God. To live without loving your brother and sister in Christ is to live in denying the reality of fellowship with God and with other believers. We must love one another as Christ loves us. Do not walk in darkness because of hate, but walk in light as he is in the light. Love as he loves. When we are walking in the light, when we are living a life of faith and loving our God and others, we are progressing in our Christian walk. As we said, the Christian life is described as a walk. We must take that first step of faith, of salvation, putting our faith and trust in him who has done all for us, then, like every walk we take, we must move forward. We must progress. We can't stand still. Living a life of love is walking as he walked, and will move us forward on our walk, on our life's journey to becoming more like him. If God is love, and if the new commandment of Christ is love, then love brings us nearer to men and to God, and hatred separates us from men and from God. We must remember that if a person has hatred, resentment, an unforgiving spirit in his heart, he can never grow in the spiritual life. He will never progress in his spiritual walk. A Christian who walks in love is always experiencing some new joy because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. When we blend love and joy, we will have peace, and peace produces patience. Walking in love is the secret of Christian growth. Now, all of us must admit that we cannot generate Christian love under our own power. It is our nature that we are selfish and hateful people. It is only as God's Spirit floods our hearts with love that we, in turn, can love one another. The Spirit of God makes the commandment, love one another, into a new and exciting day-by-day experience. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, God's Spirit produces love. If we walk in darkness, our own selfish spirit produces hatred. The Christian life, the life that is real, is a wonderful blending of something old and something new. The Holy Spirit takes the old things and makes them new in our life. Love enables a man to walk in the light, but hatred leaves him in darkness. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in love. Are you walking in love today? Are you following this old commandment that has become new in its realization and new in its actions? Or are you holding on to hatred? Do you put on a good show, put on a big smile at church or with other believers, but are really walking in darkness? We must walk in the light. We must love God's family and love God. Then, only with the help and grace of God, we can love as he loved. We can progress in our life of faith, in our walk with him. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do humbly worship and praise you for your example of love. Lord, we can look at your life and see the love of God in every aspect. And Lord, I pray that as we as believers walk in our Christian life, as we live this life of faith, that you would give us the grace and the strength that we need every day to love one another. Lord, help us to walk in love. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Lord, help us to love one another, that we may be there for one another, that we may be an encouragement to one another, not a stumbling block. Lord, help us to let go of hatred. Help us to let go of sin, Lord, because we know if there is hatred and darkness, no light can exist. Lord, we need your light to live our life every day. Lord, we need your love to fill our hearts, that we may show that love to others. Lord, we pray that as we go out today in our Christian walk, that we would show the love of God to those we encounter. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.